Kimberly Thomas is the reigning Illinois Teacher of the Year. The title doesn't come with a satin sash and a tiara, but you might think it does once you get a taste of Thomas's extreme effervescence. I'm going to promise you up front, this Peoria math teacher has a lot more going for her than just bubbles and fizz, but I have to give you a taste of that first. I'm going to play a tape from last month's Illinois State Fair where I visited Thomas on a muggy Sunday morning in the governor's tent. She was providing math demonstrations, and I played along.
This is an activity, a Mathlicious activity I play with my kids, and they absolutely love it because it can be a competition. So you pick a number out of here. I have a bunch of numbers in a bag. You show me the number. Go ahead. You can look at it. Oh, you picked a one. Now what you have to do is choose the square root of nine of these. So what's the square root of nine?
Three.
Good. So pick three, any three dice that you want. So take those and roll them in this paper plate. Okay. You get to use two, one, and four to equal the one you chose. You can use these as many times as you want. You have to use each one at least once, but you can add, subtract, multiply, or divide. So what do you think?
I've got to find a way to get rid of the four. So if I say 4 divided by 2, that'll equal 2. Wait. I'm really bad at math. 2
minus.
Oh, duh.
Did you see the positive parabola just got on your face? That is what happens to my kids. See that? That light just went off in your head. You're like, oh, okay, now I see it. And they get so excited. That's why we have such a math-tastic time. My students come in my room with negative parabolas on their faces, you know, because it's math class. I'm like, wait, just give me a 60th of a minute for my mathliciousness to rub off on you. Because it's my goal that when they come to my classroom, it is one of the best fractions of their day. So your positive parabola just made my day.
Around her table, she had posted samples of math activities she uses with her students. For example, there were math-o-lanterns. These are cereal boxes decorated with geometric shapes to make faces. Her students constructed those while figuring out how to calculate surface area. Notice that I did not say she taught them how.
They have to write their own formula for surface area. And it's so amazing for them to come up to the board and show me what they came up with, because all of them end up simplifying to the same thing. They're like, oh my gosh, you can write it this way or you can write it this way. And I'm like, yes, that's one of the most mathabulous things about math. There's so many different ways to come up with the correct answer.
The heat index in the governor's tent was approximately 10 squared. So we continued our conversation in an air-conditioned building that was somewhat quieter. One thing that you were talking about in there about how you wouldn't tell them the formula for area, they had to come up with it for themselves. That sounds very Common Core to me.
It is.
But you were Common Core before it was Common Core.
Well, of course. I was differentiating before they came up with the word with it, too. Many, many teachers have been doing these things, and then we come up with names for them. I've been around so long, you just don't know how many programs and things that I could say that have come and gone. But it's just, you know, it's the fun. Bring back fun in learning. It's fun for a kid to discover their own formula and discover how can that be, instead of just saying, here it is. What, that is a snooze fest. Let the kid explore. Let them come up with them themselves. Let them say, well, I still can't get it. Keep trying. Go ask that student. You know, sometimes the kids are like, why don't you just tell us? No, because you'll remember it if I don't tell you. And someone in this room is going to get it, and they can tell you. And sometimes learning from other students, oh, my goodness, it's just amazing to watch. So when they come up with all these different formulas that equal the same thing, they're so excited. Oh, I did it. I got it. Yes, you did.
What textbook do you use?
I don't use a textbook. I use all my Mathlicious ideas and activities that I've created throughout the year, because every year is a different year of kids, and I'm going to have it where what I am doing is in their best interest. You have to fit the needs of those kids in your room. And I've found out that when it interests a child, they will do it. That's like an adult. If it interests you, you're going to participate. I mean, when I say, let's play frackerdiddles, everybody lights up. What's a frackerdiddle? And then once they find out what it is, then they're like, can we play frackerdiddles? And I'm like, you know what? Let's do camathaflage today. Ooh, camathaflage. I mean, they're so excited. And it's just continuous positive parables. And anytime you can relate math into everyday language, they're learning it. I mean, when we're in the hallway, we're not walking, we are translating. When we have to turn down the hallway, we're rotating. To me, textbooks are guidelines. Like, it's a guide. It's the supplement for me, instead of the other way around. I mean, a lot of preparation goes into this with projects and activities, but it's so worth it just to see the joy on a kid's face when they learn.
How many years have you been teaching?
I will begin my 10 × 2 + 4th year on Wednesday.
Did you start out being just a normal math teacher?
That's a tough question. No one's ever called me normal before. I've always added my own stuff. I remember my square root of 1 year teaching. I taught the number of sides on a pentagon, and it was self-contained. But I always remember in every subject I taught, we would do some kind of game or activity or project because I didn't want to be bored. I think it was more me not. And then I was like, they were so excited to do these things. You know, we can read stories out of the book and that's great. But then how can we adapt it to the things that we like? And how can we even push it farther by doing projects and asking questions about the story when I taught that grade? And then I did that for the square root of 4 years. And then I moved up to the middle school and did math. And what really caught me are those middle school kids came in my classroom with, I'm telling you, those negative problems, like, oh, I don't like math. Oh, it breaks my heart when they say they don't like it or when they say they've never been good at it. Yes, you can. Because when kids come to my room, I am not discouraged at how they enter. I'm encouraged at how they're going to exit. And that's my job. That is my job, that they will exit believing I can do math and I love math.
And the other standard question is, does this translate into better standardized test scores?
It's so funny because I never ever bring up state testing in my classroom. I don't need to. They know from the day 1 squared to day 10 squared plus 80, we are going to be learning. And whenever that test comes up, they're going to be ready for it. I don't have to sit there and pressure them about, oh, here it comes, or here's a packet. Are you kidding me? No. We are doing math every day. They already know. Test scores, they get it. But I never pressure them for it because it'll come. And like I said, when kids see me 2 decades later, they always remember that project, remember checkbook challenge, remember GeoBread House, remember Math-O-Lanterns, remember Frackerdiddles. I'm like, yes. And not one kid ever says, do you remember that state standardized test that we took? So they've learned so much more. They've also learned how to be kind, how to work together.
Now, since you're Teacher of the Year, are you the teacher who teaches the accelerated, gifted, super-duper Bound for Princeton kids?
I'm at the Peoria County Alternative School. So students who have been expelled are the students that I teach. And to me, they're the super students because every kid deserves a second chance and they can learn. And I tell them when they come to my class, I say, it was funny because the first time I had to go pick up a group of students from the alternative school, they're in computer class. Nobody wants to leave computer class, especially for math class. So I walk in there and I say, who wants to be mathlicious? And they all looked at me and I heard a couple kids go, who is she? Is she for real? What'd she say? And I said, who wants to be mathlicious? And somebody said, well, what's that? And I go, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let's get linear and parallel. So we got in a line. Let's translate ourselves down the hallway. Stop where the walls are perpendicular. Rotate 90 degrees. Translate yourselves up to the square root of 9 floor, rotate another 90, and enter that room without a roof. And one of the kids says, your room doesn't have a roof? And I said, no, because the amount of math you're going to learn has no limit. And so they walked in there, and they were like, okay, so what's mathlicious? And I go, what's mathlicious? You just learned 3 × 2 words before you came to my room. That, my friend, is mathlicious. Because this is not your ending. This is a beginning. And you will leave this school, going back to your home school, the smartest math student in that classroom. They're like, okay, you know. And boy, was the room filled with positive parables. Because some of those kids think they've already been sent out of a school for whatever reason. But this is their chance to, they can do it. And So to me, they are the super students.
So how long have you been teaching at an alternative school?
This will be my square root of 9 year. For the other years, I've been in the traditional setting with 6 times 5 kids in a room with about square root of 16 sections. So that comes up to about 120 kids a day. And now this is my, when an opening came up, because we only have, you know, one in our county, the principal there asked me if I'd like to come over there. And I was like, you know what, I would love to try it. I've always had, I just love kids, but especially those, and I've always been able to get along with every kid. I think because sometimes I acted like them when I was a kid, so I kind of know like what they're thinking, and I always call myself, I'm Mrs. Slick, I know you're, you know, and I just, you know, have a way of getting along with them and talking to them and discussing things with them and not getting upset. Kids will say, you didn't get upset at that? What's that going to do to get upset?
About what kind of things?
Just any kind of, you know, you're going to have discipline issues. And now with this new Senate Bill 10 squared, you really have to keep kids in the classroom. So I've been doing that by keeping kids engaged. I still have extremely high standards because kids will always rise to the expectations of those they trust. You know, kids think you care because you're a teacher, but trust is a whole different story. That's reliability. Can they rely on you? And so I asked, well, you know, what can my kids rely on me every day? Well, they can rely and trust that I'm going to be wearing heels and drinking coffee, but that I will make mistakes, that I will say I'm sorry, that I will love them, I will have their back, that I will make learning fun, and they will learn math at a depth they never thought was possible. And I always tell children, I'm not going to change how I teach because of how you behave. You're going to change how you behave because of how I teach. And they do. They want all kids, I don't care where they're from, want to be loved at school. It doesn't matter what their background is. They want to be loved. And I have no problem letting them know that I love them. I put it on their homework, their quizzes. On the bottom every day it says, have a super prime day or, you know, something mathematical. And then I'll put love, Mrs. Thomas. Like, there's not a doubt in any of my students' minds that I love them. And that word love, talk about helping with any kind of discipline, that makes any child rethink their decision. I have a student, she was talking too much. I'm like, Shataya, I love you, but you gotta get quiet. She's like, love you too, Mrs. Thomas, I'll be quiet. And there she was. I mean, not every day goes like that, but the kids know if there's something that happens, and I'll come back and talk to them later because they're with me. They're not gonna be with the principal all day. They're gonna be coming back to your classroom, and you gotta form those relationships. You know, the relationships, it's the prime factor of effective teaching. You have to have that with a kid to make them see the importance of learning, but the importance of what they can become and giving them hope.
People would think that Teacher of the Year, I mean, is exactly you, someone who's a really effective teacher. But one of the stories you told when you talked to the State Board of Education had nothing to do with what happens in the classroom. So, do you remember what story I'm talking about?
Was it the little boy? Yes, okay. It was my square to 1 year teaching. And sometimes when you're the rookie, you get the classroom of kids that, you know, maybe cause you a little extra, you know, maybe when you lose your religion a little more than other days, right? So I had the class going and it was great. And then I got another new student. And he wouldn't do anything I said. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my first year teaching. I'm going to get fired if I can't get you to do what I say. And I'm thinking, what is going to go on? So I went up to him and said, what can I do to make you happy? He goes, no one has ever asked me that. They just asked me what's wrong.
Time out. That was your first year of teaching?
Yes.
And so why would you ask him what you could do to make him happy? Were you just desperate to not be fired?
A lot of times when you say, what's wrong? Nothing. How are you doing? Fine. Or, what's wrong? Nothing. You say, what can I do to make it? They can't say. They have to say something. They'll tell you that.
As it turned out, that boy was in foster care and simply wanted to see his father.
So the boy said to me, well, my dad doesn't show up for these visits. Why doesn't he want to see me? And I just stood there and like, God, hold back my tears, hold back my tears. Now, he didn't get a positive prep on his face yet. He had more of a zero slope, but it wasn't negative anymore. It wasn't a negative parabola. He knew the complex where he lived, but he wasn't sure what house number it was. So I knocked on doors and met a lot of wonderful people who I found Mr. Bell and asked him to please, you know, I go, I'm your son's math mom and I just love him and he's just not happy. And if a kid, and I know you want what's best for him. So he needs to be happy to learn. I don't want him to get, you know, in any trouble. I want him to stay in my classroom. Can you please go see him? So the next week, that dad showed up to that visit. And how did I know? I got the tightest hug from the happiest kid in my classroom. And he's like, my dad said, you like having me in your class, and you're thankful that I'm here.
You could say that Mrs. Thomas is passionate about teaching, but that's an understatement. It's more like passionate with one of those little exponent numbers next to the word. It's like passionate to the power of 10 or 17 or 25.
Some teachers say, how do you leave? You're so happy all the time. I'm like, well, you know what? Every day there's one thing a kid says or does to make your day. So you have to remember that that one positive is greater than any amount of negatives that happened that day. I mean, it's mathematical, so it has to be true.
Next month, Mrs. Thomas will pass her title to a new Teacher of the Year. And after that, she's plotting an upward slope on her graph.
Things that work, I'm going to do better. It's always improving. I still have to improve. And I feel like every year I always say is going to be my best year so far. And I know that this year is going to be my best year so far.
Reporting for the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.